This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and we're certainly glad that you're in our audience again today. We trust the program will enlighten you, encourage you, and perhaps challenge you. Again, if you would like to contact me, you may do so by regular mail or through email, and the email address is on my website. You might want to go to the website and re-listen to this program or look at some of the meditations that I have written. I write a weekly meditation. There's other helpful information on the website. So if you want my regular address, my postal address, or if you want my website address, I'll give you those at the close of the program. Give you time to get a pencil and a piece of paper. But continue to listen while you're doing that. We're glad you're in the audience. Now, we are looking at an overview of the Bible. I've been concerned lately that most people believe that they have to be taught what the Bible says by someone who has been educated in the Bible. And over the years, that's been the tendency of churches to convince their people that they can't really understand the Bible for themselves, that they need someone who has been taught how to interpret it, to interpret the Bible. I do not believe that to be true. However, I would say that one thing we often forget is that the Bible is only properly interpreted by those who have been born of the Spirit, who are led of the Spirit, who are in fellowship with the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And so as I talk about interpretation, I believe that we have to recognize that unless we are born of the Spirit, as it says in John chapter 3, that unless the Spirit has convicted us of our sin, and unless the Spirit has enlightened us as to the value of the work of Christ, we probably are not going to be able to properly interpret the Bible. But if we are saved by grace through faith, if the Holy Spirit has convicted us of our sin and has turned us to Christ so that we believe in Him and not in ourselves, I want you to rest assured that you can understand the Bible for yourself. Now, there will be things that you may not understand, but remember, the basic truth of the Bible is found in John 3:16, and anything that contradicts that is probably interpreted wrong. We could also say that the basic theme of the Bible is found in the truth that we're to love God and we are to love one another. And of course, John 3:16 brings us into relationship with God where we can love Him and then we can love one another. Now, when we look at the Bible, the Old Testament is a physical land with physical people and physical promises. The New Testament is a spiritual land with spiritual people and spiritual promises. So we look for principles in the Gospels, for examples of how those principles were carried out in the Acts, and for teaching in the epistles, and then for illustrations in the Old Testament. And the teaching in the epistles is key to all Bible interpretation because those who wrote the epistles of the New Testament were explaining how the Old Testament was fulfilled when Christ came and what the implications are with regard to this New Testament new thing called the church. They explain that for us. And if you just keep those principles in mind, and if you're saved, and if you've made sure that you don't have a grieved Holy Spirit by things you've said and things you've done, I believe that you can understand the Bible. And I recommend studying from a good version, such as the King James or the New King James, or perhaps the ESV, but I also believe that there are some good paraphrases, such as the New Living Translation, that read along with those other translations might give you some light when it comes to customs and language and interpretations. I use the King James and the New King James. I always preach in a public setting from the King James. On the radio, I've read a lot from the New King James, but I use other translations to help me get the flavor of the passages. So now today we're going to look at Exodus. Last time we looked at Genesis, and the things we need to remember about Genesis is that it's a book of beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we met Abraham in Genesis. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's who we met in Genesis. But now, as we follow through Abraham's descendants, they have gone down into Egypt because of famine. And in Egypt, they were treated well for a while. But then after the deliverer, Joseph, died, who was one of Israel or Jacob's sons, after he died, a king arose that didn't know Jehovah. He didn't know Joseph. He didn't know the children of Israel. And so he brought them into bondage. And that speaks of the bondage of sin that we are in this world. And now we come to Exodus and we have the story of deliverance. We have the story of redemption. Now, redemption is simply a matter of paying a price for someone or something, paying a price to buy something back, really. And it's to liberate by paying a ransom. And we see that picture in the book of Exodus. And so when we look at Exodus, we would think of 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, which says, "To the Christian now, knowing that you were not redeemed or bought back with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we who are saved were owned, in a sense, by the original creation. God had a right to us because of creation, but now, because of the fall and sin that came into the world, we now are needing to be bought back out of the slave market of sin, and Christ has done that through his own shedding of his own precious blood. He became the Lamb of God that we read about so vividly in the Passover Lamb in the book of Exodus. So the book of Exodus has to do with purchasing a people out of the slave market of sin and making them his own. God makes them his own. And as we look at the book of Exodus, it's got some real high points because we can see the hand of God in dealing with this people and miraculously saving them. And we can see the rebellion of the people who constantly wanted to turn away from the one who miraculously was redeeming them and seemingly wanted to criticize, wanted to turn to idols, and it's a picture of our rebellious nature. But God loved this people. And I love that. When we look at the children of Israel, they were often a rebellious people, but God loved them. And when we, as the children of God, rebel, sometimes we think, when we come to our senses, that God couldn't possibly love us, but he does. And I thank God for that. So when we look at the stories in the book of Exodus, the first story has to do with the call of Moses. He was supposed to be destroyed under that Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. He was the firstborn. Males were supposed to be killed, but he was preserved, and you can read about how he was preserved. He was raised in the palace of Pharaoh by Pharaoh's daughter. And then he makes the mistake of trying to become the deliverer before God's time, and he ends up having to spend 40 years as a shepherd on the backside of the desert. And then when we come to Exodus chapter 3, we find that God reveals himself to Moses in a burning bush, a very enlightening story, a bush that burned and was not consumed. And Moses then was called to go back at the age of 80 and bring that children of Israel out of Egypt across the Red Sea into the wilderness so that they could be the inheritors of the land that had been given to Abraham originally. So as we begin to look at this story, we first of all would realize that there was the call of Moses at the burning bush. And then we would all know, if we've studied anything from the Sunday schools that we went to, that there were 10 plagues that Moses used to prove that he was speaking for God. And then there was the Passover, where the firstborn children died who did not have the blood of the Passover lamb applied to the doorposts and lintels of their houses. And then there was the parting of the Red Sea, where the children of Israel came up against their first obstacle, and the army of the Egyptians was behind them, the Red Sea was before them, and the Lord took them miraculously through the Red Sea and brought the Red Sea to back into its banks so that the Egyptian army was destroyed. And that speaks to me of what the New Testament would call baptism, because once you make a public declaration that you're a Christian, there's seemingly no going back. Even if you want to, people hold you to your public declaration. And I think the children of Israel, when they went through the Red Sea, that was the point at which they could no longer go back and try to live comfortably or uncomfortably in the land of Egypt. When we look at the story of Exodus, one thing that comes before us is the manna. And we know in the New Testament that the Lord is that manna. He says in John 6, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so we have the story of the manna, the miraculous food that sustained him. We have the Ten Commandments, and then we have the building of the tabernacle. And that's so important because the tabernacle speaks of the Lord Jesus, and it speaks of his having a place in our lives, in our hearts. If we were to read from the Young's Living Translation from John chapter 1, and I think it's verse 18, it says, the Word became flesh and did tabernacle amongst us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, your version may say he dwelt amongst us, but he tabernacled amongst us. And so when we look at the tabernacle, we see a picture of Christ wanting to dwell with his people. And these are all instructive truths that are developed in the New Testament. And so I hope that you have come to that point where, in trusting Christ, you have been redeemed by that blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that you are part of his purchased possession, and that you enjoy the manna from heaven as you travel through a world, a desert, that does not understand you toward the promised land. And I hope you have publicly identified yourself with Christ in baptism, because that's the point from which there is no turning back. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today. Bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.